Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
Things turn around quickly in the NBA, so it can get bad really quick, but it can also get really good really quick. So tonight's a good test. They've been playing much better so lately. They got some good players on that team. They're young, but you know, we have to defend home court, so hopefully we can play as well as we did in Phoenix.
It is kind of crazy how fast things can change in the NBA. That was the voice of Nick Vucevic, Magic center, leading scorer, leading rebounder, leading do everything, man. And he's right. This Magic team has saw what was a promising 12-12 start through their first 24 games. And about 8 games later, things seem to be turned upside down. So what in the world does that mean for the Magic? What do they have to do tonight as they continue a 4-game homestand as they host the Phoenix Suns, a team that theoretically, on paper, if you look at it, is going in the exact opposite direction. A Suns team that rolls into the AC tonight at 8-26, 3-15 away from the Valley of the Sun, has won 4 of their last 6. And really, you look at those 2 losses and you say, yeah, but one was a 3 overtime loss in Washington against the Washington Wizards. The second one was the back end of a back-to-back that kind of had a carryover effect from the night before. So, you have a Suns team that's playing well. You have a Magic team that is struggling. And that's what we're going to talk about here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Here's what we have coming up here on the program. Gina Mizell of The Athletic will join me here in a matter of about 15 seconds in the second segment. Cody and I will preview some of the big-time matchups. But just a reminder, Magic fans receive $500 off the purchase of a new roof from Carol Bradford when they mention the Magic Pretty Good Deal. All right, I don't want to make her wait any longer, so let's go ahead and welcome in Gina. Gina covers the Suns team for The Athletic, and I will tell you what, if you have not paid for a subscription to The Athletic, it is well worth it. I have been on The Athletic train for about 1.5 years. I am not employed by The Athletic. I don't do anything for The Athletic, but I think it's great. Gina, welcome onto the program. How's it going?
I'm doing fine. Happy holidays, guys. How's everything out in Orlando?
Well, I will tell you what, if we weren't in the midst of a 3-game slide, it'd be a lot better. On the other hand, I look at the Suns team, and about a 1.5 weeks ago, people were wondering if this team could even make a trade, let alone reel off 4 of their last 6. Seems like things are starting to turn around in the Valley of the Sun.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they were on a 4-game winning streak before losing in triple overtime at Washington on Saturday, and then just because of unfortunate scheduling, had to turn around and play a back-to-back in Brooklyn the very, very next day. So currently on a 2-game losing streak, but I think that's a little bit misleading. This team has definitely been playing a lot better the last 2 weeks or so. Devin Booker being back healthy has certainly aided that quite a bit. But yeah, again, this is a team that still has one of the worst records in the NBA, but has been playing its best basketball of the season over the past 2 weeks or so.
I was going to say, Gina, and really when you start to look at this team, it seems like they're starting to get a young core together. You know, I think DeAndre Ayton is finally starting to get settled. You mentioned it, having Devin Booker back is a big option for them. The last time these two teams played, I think it was at the end of November, Devin Booker was still out with that hamstring injury. Just how much of a difference does having him back in the rotation help everybody else?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, obviously, he was paid a lot of money this offseason for a reason. He is now their franchise player and the guy they're building this team around. And obviously, everybody knows he can score. He's been able to do that ever since he entered the league. But really, this season, because the Suns don't have a traditional point guard, they've put the ball in his hands a lot more, and he's had to learn how to first, kind of score more off the dribble, but also facilitate. I mean, he's got the highest assist numbers of his entire career and has really developed in that area as well. So, no, he pretty much does everything for this team offensively. And, he had such a tough start to the season. When you look back to, he had the hand surgery right before training camp and missed all of that in the preseason. Then he comes back, then he has the hamstring injury, misses a few games, comes back, aggravates it again, misses a few more games, including that Magic game, like you mentioned, and now he finally is back and really took his time this time to make sure he was feeling healthy and sort of looks like the Devin Booker of old. So, no, he's definitely been key to this, little surge that they've had the last couple of weeks. And if anything, shows how important Devin Booker is to this team, it's just look at the difference between how they've played with him and without him.
I was going to say, this team had that 4-game run, and really, you mentioned it was kind of a scheduled loss after a 3 overtime game where 149 points were posted. I think it was one of the longest games in the NBA in the last 10 years. But with wins over the Celtics, Knicks, Wolves, and Mavericks, that's a pretty good run. And I don't want to attribute it all to the offensive numbers. Defensively, this team looks like they have been much more improved. They looked like they have been much more locked in on that side of the court.
Yeah, that's, I think, where really the thing started as far as, you know, turning this around as far as the whole team is concerned. You know, again, certainly Devin Booker is a big thing, but the defense has improved as far as just, you know, in transition being better. You know, they've got some guys on the perimeter with D'Anthony Melton, the rookie point guard who is now starting. He's a really long perimeter defender, and so if you pair him with, you know, Mikal Bridges or Josh Jackson at times, or even now Kelly Oubre, who was who they acquired in that trade with Washington to send away Trevor Ariza, they've got some kind of intriguing options there. And you know, you put DeAndre Ayton there in the middle, and he's been exposed defensively quite a few times this season. That's definitely the area of the court that he needs to keep getting better at. But, you know, like I said, on the perimeter, they've really got some nice pieces there as far as range and athleticism and sort of being able to really tighten some things up. So I think it's been that, you know, physically, but also just sort of understanding mentally that you got to lock in on that end of the floor or else you're going to get blown out every single game. So, yeah, you look offensively, Devin Booker's return has been the big thing. But overall, if you look at the entire group, the defensive improvements that they've made, you know, over the past couple of weeks has definitely contributed to what they've been able to do as far as beating some good teams and you know, kind of writing their season, or at least, you know, kind of turning a little bit of a corner after such a tough start to the year.
Hey, I was going to say, you know, when you're a team and struggling, you're looking for any kind of positives. And when you go on a four-game run like that, even a six-game run like this team is on, you kind of cling on to those. And during those six games, 103 points per game allowed by their opponents while posting a 106.3 defensive rating, ranks eighth in the NBA in net rating and offensive rating. So it's been impressive. But, you know, you mentioned the thing, acquiring Kelly Oubre, and this is a guy that I have followed since his college years. I went to Kansas, so I followed him there. I followed his career in Washington. Kind of plays the same position as Josh Jackson. They're two long wings. What was kind of the thought process in acquiring Oubre, and does that kind of signal something's going on with Josh Jackson and what their plans might be for him?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be really interested to see now what they do, because they've obviously got a huge number of wings. When you look at those two guys, you look at Mikal Bridges, another young guy, a rookie out of Villanova, even someone like a TJ Warren who's playing the four right now, but really is more of a three for this, for you know, on most teams. I mean, it just, it ran in any of the roster. So, yeah, I will be curious to see, you know, what they decide to do with this kind of overload of wings that they have right now. I mean, like I said, they're still trying to perhaps acquire an established point guard or someone who's kind of more traditional in that role to take some of the pressure off of Devin Booker to have the ball in his hands all the time. But yeah, that was sort of my first thought too, is okay, is Oubre just sort of a similar player to Josh Jackson? But like I said, there have been times since the trade in the past few games where they've been on the floor together at the same time. They closed that Boston game that they won about a week ago. And so I think Igor Kokoschkov is still trying to find the right combinations, but certainly when you look at the roster, it's not balanced, and that's sort of where the overload is as far as players are concerned. So no, I'll be curious to see if this means that something is on the way as far as a trade, and you could kind of dangle one of those wing players as a possible option to move, or again, Oubre is a restricted free agent at the end of this season, so do they play it out and see how he performs for this team and then decide if they want to try to keep him around? Or, you know, I don't think they've necessarily given up on Josh Jackson, but that's potentially a trade piece that somebody might be intrigued by that, you know, hasn't fully developed yet for the Suns team, but still has some potential. So, no, it definitely, I sort of thought the same thing when the real trade happened after all the nonsense over the weekend a couple weeks ago. But, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment just because they do play similar positions.
Right now, talking with Gina Mazzello of The Athletic. She does a great job covering this team. She's covered the NBA for a long time, I believe first with the Nuggets, now with the Suns, and a couple of colleges in between. Let's talk about Josh Jackson, because I think we're going to get to DeAndre Ayton at some point. He's the story of this team and everything that he's done in this rookie year. But I think the struggles of a guy that was the number three pick in the NBA draft just a few summers ago are worth noting. It can't all just be the shooting issues, right? It has to be there's something else going on there.
Yeah, well, I think he's such an enabler for this team as somebody who watches them, you know, every night. And it feels like every single game he makes some sort of spectacular play where he has some sort of chase down block or gets to the bucket in really spectacular fashion. You're like, oh my gosh, there's that athleticism that everyone was tantalized by going into the draft and all of that. And then he'll make, you know, some sort of dumb turnover, or things will be like moving too fast for him and he gets out of control. Or like you mentioned, his shot has just not been consistent for his whole career. So we just haven't really been able to put it together. And, you know, he's an insightful kid. You never question his effort and you never can question his competitiveness, but he just has never really, so far in his NBA career, been able to sort of string together good performance after good performance after good performance, or even good possession after good possession after good possession. So you look at somebody like him, and then you look at somebody like Mikal Bridges, who maybe isn't quite as flashy, but is already a pretty solid defender, and I think will only get better as he gets more experience in the NBA. He's a pretty reliable outside shooter, and he's just, you know, a really mature kid and someone who's kind of come in right away and obviously elevated himself to the starting role. So, no, it's just, again, every game I feel like why Josh Jackson was a lottery pick, and then 2 seconds later you'd be like, oh my gosh, there's another boneheaded play by him. So, no, he's definitely the most, like I said, most interesting or just the biggest enigma on this roster, just because you can pretty much see the good and the bad from him every single game, it feels like.
Yeah, the three-point numbers are down to 28%, while his minutes are also down, I believe, from 25 to 21 this year. And you know, at some point, you know it's going to turn. You just don't know when. You don't know how patient you can be with, it seems like, a roster that's ready to start, not necessarily building towards the future, but starting to turn a corner. And someone who's certainly starting to turn a corner is DeAndre Ayton. I will tell you what, over the course of his last five basketball games, he looks like the number one pick. You know, everyone's talking about Luka Doncic, but finally we're starting to see, I think, the DeAndre Ayton that everybody expected to see going into this NBA season.
Yeah, and actually Igor Kokoschkov, for the first time, he's a pretty understated coach, as far as he's not going to come out and be boisterous about really anything. But after that Brooklyn game, he actually like publicly lobbied for DeAndre for the first time, as far as, hey, I know that everyone's talking about Luka. And by the way, Igor coached Luka with Slovenia, so he knows better than anyone, you know, what a great young prospect he is. He's like, I have so much respect for what Luka Doncic has done, but let's not forget about what DeAndre Ayton has been doing as well. And yeah, you mentioned over the last five games, just putting up monster numbers, set career highs in points and rebounds over the past couple of games. Now, of course, some of those stats are skewed by the overtime, but still it's up there as far as just his crazy production. And he's been really good at rebounding lately and just very assertive when he's gone up and tried to get the ball. There have been a couple moments early on in the season where, you know, it would get ripped out of his hands or he just wouldn't go up strong enough. And so I think he's learning just the tenacity you need to play with consistently and just the effort you have to have consistently. Like I mentioned, his defensive deficiencies are definitely still there. And so some fans or some outsiders or some people who, you know, kind of harp on analytics and video stuff really like to, you know, focus on that. And that's definitely true. There are times where he's looked lost out there or just clearly was not in the right place at the right time. But I think that's going to come, and that you got to be patient with that area of his game. But when you talk about his efficiency as far as his scoring, when you talk about his improvement as a rebounder and just the production he puts up game in and game out, it's pretty darn great. And you know, I think in any other season, he'd probably be at the top of the Rookie of the Year contention. But obviously, Luka's played fantastic. You know, Jaren Jackson has been great. You know, this rookie class overall, I think, especially when you look at the top few picks, has been really solid. And so that's a tribute to all those guys. And, you know, DeAndre Ayton is certainly part of that mix of guys who are making an impact in their first season.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Five straight double-doubles over the course of his last three games. 25 points, 17.7 boards, shooting 70% from the field. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah. And you mentioned Igor. He knew Luka. How hard was that for him to not have more say in that decision process when they were drafting at the top of the draft last summer?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he would talk about that, you know, explicitly or publicly, but, you know, certainly they do have a prior relationship and a prior, you know, coach to player type thing. And certainly if you look at this offense, I think Luka would have been a great fit on this team. But at the same time, it's like you got a local product in DeAndre Ayton, an Arizona guy who, you know, this franchise has long waited for a center, like a true center. And so, like you said, he's now starting to play like the number one pick, and you know, you could have gone, I feel like, a couple different directions with that number one pick and felt like you got a really good player. So yeah, again, everyone's sort of caught up on the Luka train, and rightfully so, with what he's been able to do, particularly in the clutch the last couple of weeks for Dallas. But like you said, DeAndre Ayton has just kind of consistently put up numbers, and is, you know, you can tell he's learning along the way as well. He's one of my favorite guys to interview on this team because, number one, he's like very entertaining and very candid, but also really good about speaking about what he's been learning throughout the season. So you can tell that he's really, you know, taking mental notes and figuring things out. And so I'll be very curious to see what he looks like tonight against Nikola Vucevic, because he was great against the Suns a few weeks ago. And so what has he learned from that first matchup to now apply tonight will be something very interesting to watch, just because you can tell that he has learned along the way. And so what does he remember about that game, and how does he apply it tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Gina, I'll get you out on this question today, because I am up against a break. But I wanted to talk about a piece that you wrote about James Jones on The Athletic, and I thought it was a fantastic piece, and it spoke to not only his intelligence as a player and how he works to create a culture that, you know, his players want to be a part of, his front office wants to be a part of. Can you just kind of speak about that piece and how much James Jones, since coming on board of this organization, I believe it was last summer, has changed kind of the perception of the Suns' front office?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you bringing that up. That's part of our whole NBA package for Christmas on The Athletic. And yeah, I just was sort of wanting to get into sort of how he became one of these latest guys who went pretty quickly from his playing career to a front office job. And of course, he was elevated right before the season when Ryan McDonough was fired. And so, yeah, I got a chance to talk to guys like Kevin Love and one of his assistant coaches in college, and obviously a lot of people within the Suns organization. And you know, you've got a business background, and that sort of helped him learn the front office side of things as far as, you know, how to run a team. But really why he was hired in Phoenix and what he's really trying to do is, yeah, create a culture with the players that, you know, everyone's connected and that everyone is sort of, you know, going for the same goal and feels valued. And even to the point that if something's not working out with somebody like a Trevor Ariza, like a Tyson Chandler earlier this season, then James Jones is going to make a point to do right by the player. And I think that, you know, sort of builds a reputation even around the league as far as, hey, this is a place where players will be respected and be valued. And that wasn't necessarily the case in past years when you talk about the front office and the reputation that this organization has. So, yeah, again, he's inexperienced. We'll see if he's able to keep the job and what Robert Sarver does as far as, you know, filling out the front office. But, yeah, that connectivity with players is what made him such a great teammate. It's why LeBron and Kevin Love loved playing with him. And then now with the Suns, he certainly has an impact with these younger players who, you know what he's done in his career and see him around the gym every day. So, yeah, that was a fun piece to work on. And yeah, if anyone's interested, and I'm sure there's some people in Florida that are interested maybe in what he's been doing as a front office guy, I would encourage you to read it.
Absolutely. It was a great piece. I enjoyed it. I know that. I will share it later. Hey, Gina, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us. This was fantastic.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Anytime. That was Gina Mazzell. She covers this Phoenix Suns team for The Athletic. She's covered the NBA for a long, long time. Go check her out on Twitter, at Gina Mazzell. That's 1Z2Ls. Also, check her out on The Athletic. It's definitely worth a read. She does a great job. All right, when we return on the other side, Cody and I will preview some of the bigger matchups heading in tonight. But all right, we'll see you on the other side.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's Fournier for three. Got it to go.
Right there. Deep left front.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
Got to keep playing. I mean, that's the only way you can get out of it is just keep playing. So just got to bring energy, you know, stay together, and just try to stay together through this rough time.
Hey, welcome back. Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center rolls along on a Wednesday. We were off Monday and Tuesday. Hope everyone had a fantastic holiday. Hope you got to spend some time with family, friends. You got to eat some good meals. You got some great presents. And you know what? You did something good for another person. That is what I hope for everybody, and I hope you guys all had a great holiday. Magic and Suns getting set for a 7 o'clock tip time tonight. You can catch that on the Magic Radio Network beginning at 6:30 with Brandon Kravitz. He'll take you through with Magic tonight. And then beginning at 7 o'clock, Dennis Newman and Richie Adubato will bring you home as the Magic attempt to snap a 3-game skid and they take on a Phoenix team that I think is going in the opposite direction of the way this Magic team is going. And let's get just some of our big matchups tonight.
It's game night. Now let's break down tonight's Magic matchup.
So Cody and I kind of thought we would do something differently. Instead of me just running through the starting five for each of these two teams, we thought we'd highlight a couple of big-time positions. And Cody, I think we're only going to have probably room for one or two, but I think that center position is pretty big.
The center position is the big one. Nick Vucevic, DeAndre Ayton, Bamba as well will come in off the bench, so we'll see the battle of the top draft picks. But Nick Vucevic had a big game in Phoenix last time out, 25 points, 15 rebounds. Ayton had 19 and 6. Big night for Vooch the last time. What do you see tonight between those two?
Well, I'd really like to see a big night out of Vooch. I thought he had one of his quieter evenings the other night against Miami. And look, Nick Vucevic is what makes this Magic team go. It's seven straight games now that the Magic have failed to post over 97 points. If they're going to be successful in the NBA moving forward, if they're going to be a playoff team, you have to find a way to put the ball through the hoop. And their most efficient, most prolific scorer, Nick Vucevic, has to do that for them each and every night. Tonight, he's got his hands full. DeAndre Ayton starting to figure things out at the NBA level. And we mentioned it. You look at his last three games, 25 points, 17 and a half boards. He's shooting 70% from the floor. According to Basketball Reference, he is the only rookie since 1983-84 to get three straight games with at least 20, 15, and shooting 60% from the floor since Charles Barkley did it.
Wow.
That's pretty good company. The Magic are going to have their hands full tonight. I think the Suns team is starting to come around. You have to worry about Devin Booker, but you know what? This Magic team also has a few offensive weapons of their own. They got to get Terrence Ross going, and they also need to get Evan Fournier back on track as well. So that'll do it for us here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Dante is back in his chair. Tomorrow, I am back with you on Friday. Hope everybody had a great holiday. Stay tuned. Magic Basketball is next with Brandon Kravitz.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.